going to preach on the road to Emmaus this morning. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. We're going to follow the events of last week. We also were in 24 in the earlier passage last week, beginning in verse 13 this morning. Luke 24, beginning in 13, the Bible says, "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other, about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there these days?' What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped, say that, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. And he said to them, 'How foolish you are. How slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." May the Lord add understanding and insight and inspiration to his word this morning. As we continue our series of thinking and learning about walking the roads with Jesus, I want us to move to this passage in Luke 24, beginning in 13, as we read. The Passover week and the events of that fateful time are behind us. And among the followers of Jesus, can you imagine the feelings? There was certainly pain, disappointment, confusion, and grief in their minds. There was certainly discouragement and hopelessness in their hearts. They were most certainly exhausted and downtrodden in spirit. Then last week we saw in Luke's narrative earlier in chapter 24 of the gospel that there was indeed hope, that the stone was rolled away and his body wasn't there, and that the women at the tomb had had a conversation with the young man in white. He is not here, he is risen. But as we pick up Dr. Luke's narrative here in verse 13, no one had seen Jesus yet. No one had put their eyes on the risen Jesus as of yet. What the women and a few of the disciples had seen was an empty tomb. But that was all about to change. We learn in verse 13 that there were two disciples that decided to head to this town called Emmaus. And we see that while they were walking, they were talking, they were discussing. What do you think they were discussing? I'll give you a minute to think about that. Point one this morning, they were walking away. I would like us to take note that they were walking away from Jerusalem. They were walking away from the tears and the blood. They were walking away from the place of the skull, Golgotha, and the cross. They were leaving all that disappointment and pain. Too much had happened there. It was time to walk away. I want you to note that these two were not numbered among the 12 of Jesus' closest, but it does indicate that they were disciples. They were followers of Jesus. They had walked with him, and they had heard him teach, and they had watched him heal. They may well have been witnesses of what the cruel Romans had done to Jesus, but it was all too much. It was time to walk away. It was time to distance themselves from this catastrophe. Have you ever had an experience that caught you by such surprise in a bad way that you found yourself saying, how can this be my life right now? How am I having to deal with this right now? Is this the way the story ends? How could God let this happen? I think this was the mindset of these two disciples. The narrative does not really tell us why these two left Jerusalem. It doesn't tell us what was drawing them or taking them to this particular town called Emmaus. But I don't think it's too much to think that these two just could no longer stand to be in the place where they had watched him die. They had to get out of Dodge. So they walked, and they talked, and they commiserated, and they suffered grief together. Now look at verse 15. And point number two, Jesus walked with them. Jesus walked with them. There he is. And he shows up walking with them. I said walking with them. What you need most in desperate moments of discouragement is for God to walk alongside of you. Note that Jesus did not stop them in their tracks. Note he did not tell them to turn around and head back to Jerusalem. He walked with them. He was going to join them on their walk. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the God who joins us in our pain, who seeks us when we have questions. Praise the God who pursues us on the path when we are processing life's pain. Jesus didn't just let them walk away in failure and in despair. He came alongside. I think this also teaches us a lot about ministry and the Christian life and loving one another. It reminds us, first of all, that the risen Jesus is walking with us through this life even when we don't recognize it. I might interject, have you ever looked back on an occasion in your life and at that time you did not see God in it, but at a later time you clearly saw Jesus walking with you through that period of your life? We don't recognize him sometimes. But it also teaches us about how to share our faith with others. I want you to listen this morning. Because we can learn from Jesus. What better teacher could we have? Jesus teaches us that it all starts out simply by joining someone on their journey. Joining someone on their journey. Walking with them. Talking with them. Listening to them. It starts there. This might mean opening ourselves to someone else's pain. That's part of being with another person and of caring for them in the way that Jesus teaches, friends. Sometimes we just as soon skip this step. But Jesus shows us how important this is. To listen to someone share their pain and their grief. To be present with them. This is the first step in ministering to another person. Before we ever share our faith, we listen. And Jesus did. Jesus walked with them with open ears. We see in verse 16 that they were kept from recognizing him. Either for some reason God was keeping them from recognizing Jesus in his risen state, or because of their grief and their confusion, they were not able to see clearly the truth of who he was. One of those two. How often is it that the true character of Christ is hidden from us in our own doubt and unbelief? How often is it that we are looking right at him and don't see him? Now, do you understand why I wanted us to sing "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord" today? Looking right at him. Didn't recognize him. It's like Pastor Scott going to the pantry. And Rhonda says, "Would you grab a can of green beans out of the pantry?" And I look, and I look, and I look some more, and I finally say to her, "We don't have any green beans." And she gently and lovingly shoves me to the side and reaches in and grabs the can of green beans. I'm not the only husband. Sometimes we look at things, we don't see them. They were kept from recognizing him. Verse 17, he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" It says that they stood still with their faces downcast. Friends, Jesus asks them about the conversation that they had been having. Of course, he knew what they were talking about. But he was interested in what they had to say to him. So not only did Jesus see them and join them and walk with them on the road, but he wanted to hear from them. Friend, Jesus wants to hear from you because he is concerned about what you are concerned about. Jesus is concerned about what you are concerned about. That gives me hope, friend. In a practical way, that's really what prayer is all about. God knows what you are walking through, but he desires to hear from you. He loves your prayers, but he also knows what you're walking through. He desires to hear from you as he desired to hear from those two disciples that day, and it says, hear from them he did, didn't he? They stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them said, you've been living under a rock? Well, that's not exactly what he said. Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that are you kidding me? You haven't heard the news? Jesus follows along. What things? He asked. Look at their reply. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. Now, I want you to read this with me, this next passage. Follow along with me. These two men are exposing what they thought had happened. I want you to be sure and grasp that here. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning. They didn't find his body. They came and they told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive, and it's this crazy story that they tell. And then some of the companions went to the tomb and they didn't find his body either, and we're just... Listen. Although these two disciples were walking away from Jerusalem, although they were trying to leave the hurts of the last several days behind, it comes spilling out, doesn't it? The story pours out of them. Point three this morning, their hopes had been crushed. I would like to focus on a few words in verse 21. But we had hoped. Say that. But we had hoped. We had hoped he would be the one. We had hoped that he would redeem Israel. We had hoped, past tense. There it is. We had a hope for something that doesn't seem to be panning out. We had expectations that were not met. We had dreams that have been crushed. You ever been there? Have you ever had a picture of the way your life would go and the current situation doesn't resemble it at all? Your hopes have been dashed. Friend, Jesus joins you on that journey. He walks with you in those moments. Isn't it interesting that the very thing they'd hoped for was the very thing that Jesus truly accomplished? It just didn't look like they thought it would. Jesus did come to redeem Israel. But friends, can we learn to let God be God and let him execute his plans in the way that'll bring him the greatest glory in the kingdom? Can we do that rather than see it the way we see it? How many times in teaching in the life of the disciples did he gather them around and he said, and they said to him, is this the time that you're going to boot Rome out of the region and free us from the tyranny of Roman rule? Is this the time that the kingdom is going to come? And Jesus tried to explain to him, I am bringing a kingdom, but that's not the kind of kingdom we're talking about. You see, what we want to see in our human understanding, what we want to rationalize in our human intellect, is not necessarily the best thing that God wants to work in your life. He's got a plan. Friends, can we learn to let God be God? Jesus not only came to redeem Israel, but to redeem the entire world. His followers certainly didn't expect that. Their hopes and their dreams for Israel to be liberated were way too small. God had greater plans. And you and I are benefactors of that plan. Note here also that there was evidence otherwise. Verses 21 through 24 tell us that these disciples who were walking the road of disappointment and hopelessness had heard some evidence that there was hope. Hold on. They were working, woe is me. I guess I'll go eat worms, right? Such a bad day. It's gonna be cloudy on eclipse day. Woe is me. Woe is me. And yet, they had heard a story from the two Marys and Salome. They had heard a story. And so they had every reason to believe that there might be a glimmer of hope, but they could not. They could not find themselves hopeful. And really, we could say that they had no faith. And so no wonder that the words of Jesus are strong and a little harsh in this next frame in verse 25. Look at it. He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Whoa. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And then Jesus opened his 5-pound Thompson Chain reference Bible. No, he quoted the prophets. He quoted the teachings of the scriptures, didn't he? It says He opened the word, and it says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. The scriptures had been teaching his coming for years and years and years. Amen? Point number four this morning, their story wrapped up in God's story. Their story wrapped up in God's story. Although these two followers were called foolish here, so far those two had done all the talking, hadn't they? Now it was time for Jesus to speak. Jesus is about to teach them the truth. Where does truth come from, friends? It comes from the Word of God. Jesus goes to the Word of God. He opens the Scripture to them, and their hearts burned, it says later. Their hearts burned. Their hearts burned with a fierce joy as Jesus did that. Why? Because he helped them to see their story wrapped up in God's story. And he helped them to understand that the cross was a necessity. That everything Jesus did in this life and his suffering was done out of love for them. And that it was all necessary to bring forgiveness and healing and hope to our sad and broken and sin-filled world. It was all necessary. One of the things that I love most about the Word of God is seeing Jesus hundreds of years before he came. We're coming up in a few weeks on doing some work in the book of Exodus, and you are going to see Jesus hundreds of years before he came. You see, redemption has been God's plan all along. It follows like a crimson trail from Genesis the whole way through Revelation. Redemption, forgiveness for sin, has been God's plan all along. And it culminated. It peaked at the cross. So Jesus filled them in. He went back and he started with Moses, and he taught them the importance of the Lamb of God suffering for the sins of the world. Point five this morning. Please stay a while. Please stay a while. Verse 28 says, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And when they were at the table, can you see this dramatically, friends? And when they were at the table, he took bread, gave thanks, he broke it, began to give it to them, looked like anything you've seen. Then their eyes were open. Then their eyes were open. And they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They recognized him. Come and stay a while, they said. Wow. I could preach a while here, but I want to go on to something else. I just want to say, one of the kindest acts that Jesus did in his life with his disciples was to sit with them at that Last Supper and break the bread and pass around the wine and say, this is my body broken for you, and this is my blood. It's one of the kindest things that he ever did, because every time one of those disciples that sat there that night would pick up a loaf of bread for the rest of his life, what would they remember? They would remember that night. And the and the beautiful love that Jesus had for each of them, even though he was about to go to the execution stake. He broke bread. That's when they recognized him. You see, they had recognized Jesus as a provider and a teacher and one who loved them. But they failed to recognize him until this moment. And finally, number six. How about a six-point sermon, preacher? Amen. Actually, I got one more. Eyes opened. Oh my. How slow we are to recognize the presence of Jesus. They wanted this man to stay. They knew there was something special. They just couldn't quite put their finger on it. Jesus reproduced the most special and intimate time that he had had with his disciples. He broke the bread and gave thanks and gave it to them, and that's what it took. That's the thing that made them realize who they had brought into their home. Jesus provides love in the breaking of bread. Remember what he said to his disciples, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." He shared his love. That's what he does. Our eyes are open. And then Jesus disappears. End of the story? Nope. Look at the result of this experience in these guys' lives. One more point. Promise. Number seven. Revelation brings change, transformation. When you find out who Jesus is, you are changed. They got up. And they returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord is risen, has appeared to Simon." And the two then told them what had happened to them along the way. Now Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Listen, there's a change in the conversation. From downcast to elated. From doubting to believing. From defeat to victory. From walking away to returning. Returning to the fellowship of the believers, which is right where they belonged. Friends, this is 180 degrees complete turnaround. May our eyes be opened, so that we can recognize Jesus in our walk. So that when the day is difficult, when it isn't the way you had planned it out, and he walks with you, and his presence is beside you, that you can recognize him. What hope and what faith it will give you. May our hearts burn with joy as we see our story wrapped up in his story. That's what happens, friends. He becomes part of your story. He walks with you and talks with you and ministers to you. And may we always be eager to share the joy of his presence and his resurrection power in our lives with others. Do you see the great turnaround here? The great change, the great transformation from defeat to victory, from discouragement to hope, and from headed to Emmaus to headed to Jerusalem. Father, thank you for